a lot more dangerous than slowing down in terms of threatening China is the instability of China, which is caused by the Chinese institution. They are unprecedented large-scale urbanization since 1998, led by this authoritarian regime, has created a grave social-economic conflicts between citizens and governments. That is the source of instability of China. So in that process, the Chinese authoritarian regime has deprived citizens' rights even more and have worsened rent-seeking and corruptions of the authoritarian bureaucracy. And they have applied much heavier censorships than before, and they have imposed more suppressions to the Chinese citizens. And with this high-pressured suppression approach, actually the Chinese authoritarian regime is not able to control. Instead, they are losing control. So here, the following the so-called social stability budget, the increase of this budget, is a good indicator that the Chinese authoritarian regime is losing control. So all over the world, people have, many nations have worried about the Chinese military budget. So nowadays, the Chinese military budget is the second largest in the world, following the United States. However, the rest, most people might not be noticed that the Chinese government's social stability budget is a lot more than their military budget. Means that they have used lots of forces against the Chinese citizens. So, according to the official statistics, in year 2011, the so-called social stability budget was 624 billion RMB. In contrast, the military budget was 600 billion RMB. But actually, in 2012, according to a confidential internal source, the real social stability budget doubles that of the military budget. So then, what is China's institution? I characterize China's governing institution as regionally decentralized authoritarianism, which has the following major features. The first feature is the unlimited power of the party state, and the second major feature is the highly centralized political and personnel control. The third factor is the highly decentralized administrative and economic powers. And combining these three major features, regional competition and regional experimentation are the major mechanisms to be being used by the RDA regime in the past 30 years. So therefore, this RDA regime with these two mechanisms is responsible for China's reforms and growth in the past 30 years. However, more importantly, the same regime and the same mechanisms are also the source of serious social, economic, and political problems, including the recent abrupt slowing down and problems in sustainability. Through the channel of creating structural problems in the economy, widening inequality, worsening injustice in the society, deepening corruption, and the social political stability problems created by this regime, and serious mismanagements associated with all of those above problems. To understand the nature of China's RDA regime, we should go back to the Chinese history, because the Chinese today's RDA regime actually is an institutional mixture of the Chinese imperial system and the Soviet totalitarian system. The regional competition and regional experimentation have played decisive roles in overcoming political resistances to the reform at early stages of Chinese reform, particularly in the 1980s and in the 1980s and in the 1990s. However, the transition from a totalitarian regime to an authoritarian regime and from a central planning to a market economy is over. And the transition from a very poor economy to a lower middle income economy is over. So here I argue that the regional competition and regional experimentation, these mechanisms would not work anymore beyond these transitions. So most of the social economic problems in China are created by this regime itself. This is because within this authoritarian regime, there's no better alternative incentive solutions. Other approaches than regional competition and regional experimentation are much worse in providing incentives to the party-state bureaucrats. So then, let's look at how the RDA regime itself creates problems. So in the RDA regime, all the local leaders are appointed bureaucrats, and these appointed bureaucrats are not responsible to the citizens. And the citizens have no basic rights in this authoritarian regime. So the local governments are only accountable to the bosses, but there's no way for the bosses to design an incentive scheme. So the second root of the problem is that there's no checks and balances, no separation of powers within this authoritarian regime. Consequently, they are unstoppable disease from the abuse power, rent-seeking, corruption, and all of this destabilize the economy and the whole system. And the third major factor is the invasion of citizens' rights that threats the social economic stability. So here, the citizens' rights, such as land rights and rights to raising funds, are all deprived in this regime. And this actually, this is in direct contradiction to the development of market economy. So therefore, the limitation of the market economy in China is set by the RDA regime of China. So, but all in all, the key problem, the most important problem in China is the unlimited power of the party state. So therefore, a constitutional reform is necessary for China's stability. And this actually is a consensus reached by many reformers in today's China. So, but what obstacles have prevented China from establishing constitutional rules? From economics point of view, what can be done in a constitutional reform is confined by the existing institutions evolved in the history. A successful reform must be in participants' interests. However, China has eliminated independent political and economic powers since the imperial time, till today. All the social elites in China are appointed bureaucrats. There's no independent intellectuals. So all the previous failed constitutional reforms in China relied actually on self-constraint of the ruler, which is in contradiction to the nature of any constitutional reform. So there is no support from independent political economic forces, and reforms in the failed reforms, constitutional reforms in China were all aimed at strengthening the state, not citizens' rights. And in fact, today's China's RDA regime is actually a modern version of the Chinese imperial system. So if we look at the Chinese empire, that is the far longest lasting empire on earth. Put in another way, is a super stable imperial system. However, academically, unfortunately, this is not well studied in political economy or in political science. The same factors which supported this super stable Chinese empire makes constitutional reform extremely difficult. So What are these factors? The first factor is the absence of independent political, economic, social forces. And the second factor is that the system has eradicated foundations that citizens can assemble independent forces. The third factor is the ideology. Not only in today's communist, in a previous communist regime, but also in the imperial time, that baffle citizens to yield their rights even when they are deprived. So all the above factors are actually the outcomes of the Chinese imperial system governed by the following institutional trinity. So this is an illustration of this governance structure of imperial China and institutional trinity. On the top is the imperial Junxian system. Unfortunately, today's governance structure in China is almost the same as this. And on the lower left corner, that is the imperial land system, which is the foundation for the ownership, for the foundation of the economy, and for the law. And unfortunately, today's China is exactly the same in this aspect. And on the right lower corner, that is the imperial exam system, which guarantees the personnel control and ideological control. And today's China is a variation of this system. The Junxian system is the fundamental governance structure of the Chinese Empire, which was established when the empire was created around 220 BC. The distinctive governance structure of today's RDA regime is directly inherited from this Junxian system. And the Junxian system as a governance structure is featured by a centralized personnel control that all local governors are appointed, and a decentralized administrative operation. And a combination of these two distinctively make the Chinese governance structure different from a federal system and from a federal system. The essence of this Junxian system is that all independent social elites are eliminated, and that facilitates the ultimate control over the empire by the emperor through personnel control and through bureaucracy. The imperial exam system is the core of the imperial personnel control. It selects those who are loyal and capable from the society to become bureaucrats. It eradicates independent social elites, and it denies intellectual independence. And with high-powered incentives, this imperial exam system buried independent intellectuals in China for more than 2,000 years. The exam system is the instrument of ideology control in China. The contents of the exams are designed by the emperor to promote ideologies which support the imperial system. Loyalty and obedience to the emperor and to the imperial system is the key for the content of the exam. And the creation, design, finance, and operation of imperial exam system were controlled by the emperor and by the imperial court. The imperial land system guarantees the unlimited power of the emperor. So in the imperial China, the so-called private ownership of land is actually restricted to using rights, including transferring of using rights in the market. The imperial land system is the property rights foundation for the unchallenged power of the emperor. The imperial land system eradicates the economic foundation of independent social elites. And the land system makes China distinctively from the pre-constitutional reform institutions in other nations, such as in the UK, in the US, in Japan, and in the Western European nations. And then from the imperial system to totalitarianism is all determined by the Chinese, the super stable Chinese imperial system. So the repeated failed constitutional reforms in China have led to revolutions. The failed constitutional revolutions have paved the roads to totalitarianism. So here the constitutional revolution would include the Republic Revolution in 1911, which failed. And then later, there was a ill-fated 1946 constitutional reform. So a few years after this failed constitutional reform, the communists took power by force. And then they consolidated the totalitarianism by a full-scale transplantation of Soviet political legal system and ideology to China, and through which the Communist Party has gained all the control rights. And then the Communist Party launched the anti-rightist campaign, which guarantees a full ideological control and eliminated the constitutionalism altogether. And then they launched the nationalization campaigns, which deprive private property rights. That is the economic foundation of constitutionalism. And then further, in the late 1950s and 1960s, they launched the Great Leap Forward movement and the Cultural Revolution, which actually the essence of which is to restore the Junxian system into this totalitarian system. So since then, China has deviated from a classic totalitarian system into a regionally decentralized totalitarianism. In short, I call that as RDT regime. And then since the economic reform in the late 1970s, there is a transition from the totalitarian regime into an authoritarian regime, which is featured by the following factors. The first is that the objective of the party has been changed into economic development. The second is that the central planning is replaced by markets. The third is the dominance of the state sector is replaced, at least partly replaced, by a private sector. And all of these three major changes have been codified in the 2004 constitution. But here, I like to emphasize the unchanged institutions in China. If we compare the 2004 constitution with the 1975 constitution, then here we found that the party state still has the unlimited and unchallenged power. And also, still the state has a complete ownership of all the land in China. So sharing major features from its predecessors, the RDA regime is unable to resolve most social economic problems in China. So therefore, China faces an uncertain long way. So nowadays, some Chinese reformers have reached a consensus, which is that an economic reform without a political reform has reached its limit. So without a political reform, the economic reform actually is very difficult to go further. The authoritarian regime itself now becomes the biggest threat to the stability and the sustainability of the economy and of the society. Therefore, launching constitutional reforms is necessary. However, the resistance to a constitutional reform is very strong because historically, such constitutional reforms all failed in China. And that is actually a key to understand today's China. And also, the party state's tolerance today to constitutional reform is much less than their predecessors in history, such as in the late Qing Dynasty, the late imperial times, like such as in 1901 and 1908, and also much less than in the nationalist time, for example, in 1946. To conclude, the the future of China critically depends on how far constitutional reforms can go in China. Happy birthday to Janosch.